From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Ryszard Legutko, a prominent Polish and European statesman and distinguished philosopher and the author of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged. I think this might well be one of the most important Hank Unplugged podcasts ever. And that's quite a statement, because we have had some of the most extraordinary people on the planet on this podcast. But today, I'm going to host Ryszard Legutko, and he has written a most significant book. The title says it all, The Demon in Democracy. The subtitle explains further about totalitarian temptations in free societies. The person who wrote this book is a prominent European statesman. He's a distinguished philosopher. He has served as a Polish Minister of Education, a Secretary of State, Deputy Speaker of the Senate, and is currently a member of the European Parliament as well as a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. The book is available to all of you who listen to Hank Unplugged. You can get your copy for your support of our organization by simply writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also order your copy, again, for your support of our organization on the web at equip.org. I am absolutely delighted, Ryszard Legutko, to have you on Hank Unplugged.
Thank you. Thank you, Hank. I mean, it's my pleasure being here on your show, and I really appreciate it. And I'm kind of embarrassed by this most flattering introduction. But yeah, it's great to be here and to talk about a problem which I think is the most important political problem in our times. That is, we are living in societies which we were persuaded to call liberal or free, whereas they are less and less so. And this diagnosis is not really clear to everyone. So yes, I believe that we are living at the time where a new type of despotism is looming large.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. When did you first start seeing a connection between communism and liberal democracy?
Well, that was some time ago, but you must be aware that the first time the thought occurred to me, I didn't want to believe it. I mean, for many years, I had been living under the communist system, and the Western societies were a kind of paradise to us. I mean, we believe that the United States, the United Kingdom, France, all these West European countries, Australia, and so on, they have everything we don't have. And particularly, they have freedom, which we lacked. So when this thought came to me, I said, no, well, that can't be true. I mean, there must be something wrong with my thinking. It can't be true. But the very first thing was when the communist regimes were falling in Eastern Europe, I could see that the former communists were considered to be good guys for the liberal democrats, mostly from Europe, from Western Europe. They were good people, Perhaps they had been misguided in the past. They had committed some sins, probably. But generally, they were not bad. Whereas the really bad guys were people like myself, that is, conservatives, people who were Christians, people who were patriotic, people who believed in the value of classical education. We were kind of, some of us were very, very bad guys, but most of us were people who shouldn't be trusted. Whereas the former communists were good guys because they were progressive, right? They could easily join the current, the wave of progress. They could be made to build a better, a more progressive world. Whereas persons like myself were considered to be obstacles. And I said, wait, wait, I mean, that can't be true. And the more I thought about it, the more I discovered that a lot of ideas which I knew in the communist doctrine were also very much present in today's ideology. For instance, the class struggle, that the Western societies, the capitalist society, are divided by two antagonistic classes. Perhaps nowadays people were talking less about social economic classes, but they had other categories such as race, right, or gender, which I consider to be a ridiculous notion. But again, the idea was very close to what I remember from my young years under the communist regime, that the Western society is essentially unjust, unfair, full of discrimination, and there has to be some kind of revolution or profound restructuring of the society to make it better, more equal. It has to be kind of revolutionized. And I didn't want any restructuring. I didn't want any revolution. I knew what the revolution was leading to. And that was very visible at the universities. That is, the universities were the outposts of progress, right? The strongholds of the revolution. And that was, I mean, European universities and also American universities. And I had enough of it. I mean, the Polish educational system had been emancipating itself from this revolutionary thinking. And once the communist system fell, I saw it coming not from Moscow, but from, Berkeley, Sorbonne, Heidelberg. So that was the first experience that led me to thinking about it and articulating my argument.
Someone that might be just tuning in and hearing your words immediately starts to think, how in the world can Richard Legutko compare two systems, one which is criminal communism, with another system that we usually associate as a good system, liberal democracy, a system that gives its adherents freedoms and institutional protections? How in the world can you compare those two systems and then say there are commonalities?
I never said, and I could never say they're identical. I'm very aware of the differences, and thank God there are differences. But what's shocking is there are also similarities, and I'm very much concerned by these similarities. Of course, the old regime was brutal and cruel. This one is less brutal. The world in general has become less brutal. But that doesn't make me serene. Just one of the, I think, basic commonalities, basic similarities between the communist system and the liberal democracy. That is, everything in both systems, everything tends to be political. I mean, the society, both the communist society and the liberal society, tends to be politicized. And when I remember my years under the communist regime, we were trying to find some refuge from this politicization, and to have a place where you don't hear this deafening Marxist rhetoric, when you don't have to conform to these communist rituals. And there were such places of refuge, such as family or the church, the Catholic Church in Poland. When you went to church, you entered a different world and you felt you are free, because spiritually, intellectually, you are in contact with something which you don't have when you leave the church.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Legutko. In The Demon in Democracy, Professor Richard Legutko explains how liberal democracy has tilted toward the same goals as communism, albeit without Soviet-style brutality. Having escaped the horrors of communism, Legutko understands just how critical it is that Western Christians become aware of the threats that lie buried within the systems we've long considered safe, and learn to recognize the demon in democracy. To receive your copy of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Endless predictions about end time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Professor Richard Legutko, in their conversation.
So there were a few areas when you can find a sense of security. Not always, because the church was attacked and the families was attacked. But the society as such was to be communist through and through. I mean, everything was to be communist or socialist, as we call it. There was no society, but a socialist society, not morality, but a socialist morality, not art, but socialist art. Everything was socialist. If you look at the liberal democratic society, you could see that it's politicized through and through. Everything has to be liberal democratic. There are no institutions, no communities, or it's extremely difficult to find a place that hasn't been politicized, hasn't been made liberal democratic. Even the family has been more politicized nowadays in America and in Europe than it was in the communist Poland, at least in the final years of its existence. Or religion, right? Or relations between a man and a woman, the parents and the children. Even the toilets, that's the American contribution. The toilets have been politicized, right? This is something really grotesque. But it is grotesque, it's ridiculous, but it's extremely dangerous because there are fewer and fewer places where you can be free from this political and ideological pressure. The language has been changed. We had communist newspeak then back in Poland, and now there is another newspeak here, which is mandatory for many people. I mean, in public space, you are obliged to use this gobbledygook, right? Politically correct in the academia. I mean, this is really frightening. And the things are not getting better, they are getting worse. At least that's my experience. I see this pressure is increasing.
And I think, as you point out in the book, Richard, when you look at liberal democracy and communism, you see in both of them modernization projects. Both want to distance themselves from the past. If an idea is not modern, then it ought to be modernized. And so this is a move, a liberation from old bonds, and even a politically imposed amnesia where memory has to go. You can't think about what happened in the past because everything is about the myth of progress. Everything is utopian.
Yes, I think that's true. I think it goes back to the Enlightenment, which is a very important period in Western culture, exerting a strong influence both in the States and here in Europe. And one of the ideas of the Enlightenment was that the society is like a machine. Well, the word machine was extremely popular at that time. Even the human being was interpreted as a machine. And if you look at the human life from that point of view, machine can be made better. You have to modernize a machine, right? Old cars are not as good as new cars. Right? Old TV sets are inferior to modern TV sets. So if you start from this assumption, you want to modernize the society. You want to make the society improved, modernize. You want to have a new modern fancy TV set. So you want also to have a new society. And that means restructuring, right? Changing it entirely. And rejecting and eliminating everything that is old, because it's not necessary. You don't need old TV sets, unless you are a collector, right? That's your eccentric hobby, to collect old TV sets. But it's a rather exceptional attitude. So if you want to modernize a society, You reject all the old things because they are not necessary. In fact, they are obstacles to progress. If you remember reading one of the most perceptive anti-utopias, that is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, and one of the characters asked the leader of the utopian world, why don't they read Shakespeare anymore? And he said, because it's old. You don't need it. I mean, it's in the way of progress. You have all sorts of crazy ideas that make progress more difficult. So you have to reject all these things. And I think the real revolution, this is not a very original view, but I think it's true, that the real revolution, it all started in our times, was 1968. And that was especially in the Western world, in Western Europe, probably in the United States too, because it was the time where the whole system of education, and both in primary schools and high schools, right, the university level, it was changed to make education relevant, right? You have to be educated in such a way that you need to know only things which are necessary for you to find your place in the world and to change this world. From that point of view, Shakespeare or philosophy or theology are not needed, right? They are not necessary. They are in the way of progress. But that changes your mind. It simplifies your mind. It makes it less and less open to ideas. So it closes your mind. And the closed mind of a liberal democrat is as depressing as the closed mind of the former communist.
I think it's probably important to point out that communism made a lot of promises, a lot of utopian promises. And some of those promises were that people could work for less hours, civilization would be more productive, people would have more leisure time, and they could spend that leisure time on licentious pleasures. How did communism promise something that it failed to deliver? And why today do liberal democracies think that they're going to deliver in a utopian style what the communists were not able to deliver?
Well, the communists believe, if you go back to Marx, Marx believed that once you change the economic system, a lot of wealth will be taken away from the rich people and redistributed. Everybody will get richer and people will have their primary and secondary needs satisfied. And then they could devote their free time to intellectual and artistic development. There is a well-known passage in one of Marx's works when he says that in the future, society, a human being will be literary critic in the morning, an engineer at noon, and he will go fishing in the evening or something like this. I mean, you can do anything, you can be everybody, because your economic needs will be satisfied. Now, the promise of liberal democracy is a bit different, I think, because first of all, liberal democracy, liberal democratic societies are wealthy societies. They are the richest societies in the history of mankind. So that's something that people should be proud of. I mean, there is no poverty, or if there is, it's the margin of modern societies. But I think the problem that modern societies nowadays have are two. The first of all is what to do with this wealth and with this free time that we have. And the answer is entertainment, right? Having fun. This is something that really characterizes the modern world. Never ever in the history of mankind there have been society which devoted so much resources and time and energy to enjoy themselves. And this also changes our character and ways of thinking. So that's this problem. And the second problem that the modern Western society has is that the society hates itself. Despite all the good things it has produced, the society hates itself. It considers itself to be unjust, unfair, full of discrimination, racism, and very many bad things that has to be eliminated.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Richard Legutko. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies by Richard Legutko. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.